And yeah, I'm still getting my head wrapped around crawling in a cage and beating each other up for the cause of Jesus. However, when you are driven by a passionate love of the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in obedience to the Word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what desire God can give you. Psalm 37:4 says, just blank. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Spend time with Him. God, I don't know what you want me to do. Spend more time in the Bible. Just start reading. By the way, I would encourage you to pick up. It's good to refresh your mind with John chapter 13, starting for next week. But I'm going to start in chapter 16 through 21 for the next four messages that I have left. Maybe it's five, in addition to Father's Day. And so you want to salt your heart a little bit there. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. Again, when you're passionate for Jesus, it's amazing. Where you go. I was a youth pastor, music pastor. There was an associate pastor of this church in Indiana, and then a Christian school administrator. And all three of us had six-year-old sons, and they were the firstborn in our families. And so that's always an adventure, anytime a firstborn. And then if he's got cohorts running around the church building, that's going to magnify that times three. And so one day, somebody called us three guys and said, hey, here, and they got our three sons. It's been at a basketball game, Grace Brethren Christian School with the arch rival Elkhart Baptist Christian School. So we're there, and they said, you gotta talk to us. We pulled us out in the hall, and they got our three sons with us. They say, look, we had to, your boys were fighting with kids from Elkhart Baptist. And so, you know, each of us talked to our son. And I said, Joshua, what are you doing? He said, well, we were telling them about Jesus and asking them if they wanted to pray to ask him in their heart. And he said, no. So, gospel. So, Shane, gospel on the end of the knuckle, you know. By the way, don't misunderestimate. Rebecca came up to me, and I've asked her to share something later. But she came up to me and said, it was a great testimony. Power of a praying woman. Okay, she had three children when he went off on that. What was the word you kept using? Crazy adventure. And it's because God put that heart in her before him. Is that cool? Because see, her hands are open wide in worship to the Lord Jesus Christ and lifted high in praise to him. And she's living in the zone of being obedient to the heartbeat of God, very God himself. Proverbs 31, a quick lesson on the Proverbs, and contextualize here. I'm going to have to ramp up my delivery a little bit. Even then, I don't think I can speak as fast as Shane. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, a woman of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like a decay in his bones. Proverbs 18, verse 22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I think that's a reflection of the very creation account. God created us for helpmates. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, and then sneaks in the caution. But with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. And then these practical but negative proverbs, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil in your hand. Now, that's just a context of some of the Proverbs. The book of Proverbs are largely wisdom literature. Chapters 1 through 9. And the capstone verse is probably chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Chapter 2 talks about moral benefits. Chapter 3, more benefits. Chapter 4, wisdom is the characteristic we want to pursue the most. Number 5, and by the way, parents, Proverbs 1 through 7, I would encourage you, spend time there in devotional application with your children as early as you can and all the way through adolescence. Because the mud does hit the fan. Chapter 5 is a warning. In the wisdom literature, the warning is against adultery. Chapter 6 is a warning about folly, being a jerk or being stupid or being an impractical joker. It's a warning about the waste of folly. Chapter 7 is a warning about the adulteress. Chapter 8 is wisdom's call, and chapter 9 is wisdom's invitation. Then chapters 10 through 29 are the sayings of Solomon. Chapter 30 is the sayings of Agur, who is another wise leader in the nation of Israel at the time. And then the fuller is this chapter here, the most preached passage on Mother's Day in the country. Chapter 31 is written by the mother of King Lemuel, who in all likelihood, most probably, was a king of a northern Arabian tribe. Closest we know about the individuality of this guy, except that his mother was concerned that he would be established solid character as a king. Now, the word Lemuel means belonging or devoted to God. So she writes this thing in verses 10 on. Now, first, she writes about the three characteristics required of a good government, and one is to lead people, maintain sobriety, and to do justice. And then she turns to this personal thing. You see, Lemuel, I don't know his age, but he was young and single. And she probably was stacking the deck. She started preaching this stuff to him while he was in line for the kingdom as a child. But she helped him choose wisely. And so look at this with me. Let me explain a little bit. Number one, I want to thank Dick Keller. He warmed some of you up with Proverbs 31 this morning. I really appreciate that. Two unique things. As I continued to study this passage, that I realized it is uniquely constructed in that it is an acrostic. Now, occasionally you have that. Psalm 119 is acrostic, 8-verse couplets. But this is an acrostic, meaning that each verse started with the letter of the alphabet. So like we'd say ABC, the verses started with Aleph and then Beth and then Gimel and then Daleth, and I can't say any more of them. So it was designed, you know, God is an intelligent, creative God. So he worked through intelligent, creative poets in a style of writing. So it would be as though in our days, in my early days of preaching, I preached a message on Mother's Day about mother. And M is for the many things, and O is for the other things, and T, you know. But that's what this is. This is a much higher quality mother message that she is writing. The second unique thing is, it's shown on your bulletin. Your bulletin shows an inverted progress all the way to verse 23, and then it goes back. And that's called a chiasm because it's made in the form of a cross. And in this particular thing, it's an acrostic A through Z, and it goes to the main thing at the intersection of the chiasm. We'll get back to that as we go. Okay, number one, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Now, by the way, if any of you are turning off because this is wife related, please don't do that. Okay, this has awesome application for every woman here, married, single, old, young, for every man here, old or young. We just have to do some cultural shifting on a few things to get the heartbeat of God through this translation. But he starts, lead verse, a woman of noble character. That's how Ruth in the Old Testament was described, of noble character. A woman of noble character, she is worth more, far more than rubies. Number one, the letter A is represented by a high value of a good wife. B is verses 11 and 12, in which we see that the husband is benefited by the wife. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. He's benefited. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. That's a woman of noble character. And she shows up, see, wife works hard, verses 13 through 19. And notice the amount of scripture given to a woman who works hard. She selects wool and flax, works with eager hands. She's industrious. She has purpose. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She's a disciplined woman. And she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. She's an investor. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She's fit. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She's working. She works hard, has an industrious spirit, disciplined, investor, strong, fit, focused. D, the wife gives to the poor. Verse 20 says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is generous. A woman of noble character, a good find. She's generous. E, she has no fear of snow. And F, her children's clothes are quality. It's verse 21 that says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. And these are expressions for elegant and high quality. Excuse me, the elegant comes in verse 22, where she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Fine linen coming from Egypt, purple coming out of Phoenicia. Coverings, the word there means elegant. Basically, she's an elegant and classy lady, the woman of noble character. And here's the crux of this whole wise saying from Lemuel's mother. H, verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So many reasons. One key reason being he's not worried about the home front. It's being managed, it's being cared for, his family is taken care of, and he is one content, happy, and probably proud man because of that woman of noble character that God brought together as part of his team. It's the focus of the whole message. Young men, pay attention to verse 23. Because you can't get there without traveling through the first 10 through 22 verses. You find a woman of noble character. Backing up, verse 24 says that she sells fruit of her work. Her is respected. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's got a head for business. Verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She's prepared. She's prepared. She's clothed with dignity. F, E, she has no fear of the future. D, she speaks wisdom. She speaks with wisdom, verse 26, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's teaching. She's teaching. First application, obviously, the children in the home. And if you have any sense of church history, we have some of the greatest examples of women who were behind a great man, seemingly obscure, but the teaching she did with her children exceeded the work of her husband. I just blanked on her first name, but John Wesley's wife taught, shepherded, coached, I think it was 11 kids that all expanded the ministry of John in the next generation. I don't know the roots of this church, but several churches in this state and in the Midwest, Ohio and Indiana, were started by an evangelist, our Paul Miller. Traveled on trains, took a tent with him, had meetings, and everywhere he had meetings, a Grace Brethren Church started in the wake. In the meantime, Mother Miller is raising 6 kids. One died, one went into the insurance industry, and 4 of the others went into full-time ministry. By the way, the insurance guy is a top-level elder in his business. But Mrs. Miller's ministry of teaching and training her children in the home, absolutely wonderful. See, the wife works hard. You didn't have 25B, no fear of the future, in your outline. You can mark that in there. I am at my age continuing to learn new things. So I am now producing my own inserts, and I actually produced this PowerPoint, which is huge, just huge for me. It's huge. Okay. So you got to give me a break if I miss something in the handout that'll be better the next time, wherever or whenever I would preach that. She speaks wisdom. She works hard. Verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. She's diligent. Okay, from preaching to meddling just a little bit. I don't think she spent a lot of her afternoons watching the soaps. And I don't think she would be the type that has 30,000 video games on her iPhone. She's focused, she's diligent, she's disciplined. She works hard. And the payday is in verse 28 and 29. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. This is a quote. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Husband and children are basically saying to her, you're a good woman. You're a good woman. In verses 30 and 31, she reaffirms the high value of a good wife. You want to be a great king, you want to be a king that lives long and prospers, then get a good wife. High value. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. She's a Proverbs 1:7 kind of a woman who is driven by the fear of the Lord, the awe, the worship of the Lord. It was the beginning of her knowledge. Did not want to be a fool that despised wisdom and discipline. How could she become the manager of a household, manager of a home business, manager of... Because she disciplined herself diligently to be a woman of noble character. So, I think there's 3 relationships that that are impacted, there's 3 wisdom words that I would put on a practical level. Number 1, fear God, worship, see Him with awe. Number 2, heed your parents. Listen to them. If they're like me, they got a lot of good stuff to teach you. And if they're like me, they've made some really horrendous mistakes in their youth that they are desperate that you would not repeat the stupidity and foolishness of their life. And so when they're teaching well, and you got that figured out, it's a little bit easier than when they're teaching with an irrational passion and they're just hard-headed about it. Maybe it's because they're dying for you to not experience their pain. Heed your parents. Number three, find a good mate. This goes both directions, especially in our culture. The role of the husband is not always to sit in the gate of the city and rule and pontificate. The role of the wife is to not always be in the home. But the role of the man is to be the man of noble character that God makes him to be, yoked with a woman of noble character who is using the gifts and the grace that God has given her. And together, they are forging ahead in the power of the Spirit of God for the glory of God. So, seek wisdom, young men. This is the kind of woman, nudge him, he needs to hear this. Nudge him, wake him up. No, I mean it. Okay, this is the kind of woman that you want to find. And now is when you start figuring that out. Young women, set your heart and character at being a noble woman. Women, mothers, women, older women, be biblical. It's never too late to be biblical, to walk in such a noble way with the Lord Jesus Christ that you are a silent, but also in privileged opportunity to be a verbal witness to young women just discovering their way. And you wouldn't be the first mother that is pouring intently into your son's life. We know that from Lemuel's mother. Guys, to whom much is given, Jesus said, much is required. Now, I've culturated this all that I can, recognizing educated women, career-minded women and stuff, but the bottom line, guys, is to whom much is given, much is required. And when it all shakes out at the end of the day, if you are married, you know that you got the better end of the deal. Speak up. That's how we honor our mothers, how we honor our wives, how we build our women, and how we build our young men. And it's a lot better than M-O-T-H-E-R. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the power of your word. Each time I've gone to this passage, I have been depthened by your spirit, and I make fun of the mother message, but that's because that was my initial foray into understanding and preaching your word, and you continue to give depth and to mature us as we spend time in your word. What a powerful passage. What a delightful last proverb, capstone of all that wisdom is. It shows up in our character. So for father, son, daughter, and especially mother, thank you for your instruction, for your pictures, for your guidelines, for us to live lives of nobility in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.